Good evening.
It's always a pleasure for me to fill this pulpit and bring you all a lesson from God's Word. I've titled this lesson tonight, Step by Step. Preston died right in the middle of my sermon this morning, so that's okay. We're putting a little different spin on it. We have a lot of sayings that go into this particular subject. People say, well, it's just one step at a time. Others will say, well, you know, I took two steps forward and one back. A lot of us use that. It's just one huge step. Just take baby steps. And we have these sayings that go through life. And as I looked at this and as I studied this, obviously it's about the plan of salvation. But as I looked at this, I started looking at how important it is to look at each step and step by step what the process actually is. You know, when you leave your home to go to a store or go to somebody's house, you go from one street to the next street to the next street to the next street. Step by step, you go through the process to reach your destination. When you take a job, most of us, when we first started out, started on the bottom of the totem pole, so to speak. Step by step, if you wanted to work yourself up, you started working yourself up and advancing in your career. You didn't start at the bottom and all of a sudden end up at the top. It doesn't work that way. It's like leaving the house. You don't leave the house and all of a sudden you're at somebody else's house without going through a process to reach that destination. I use dating in this. When we're young people, we search for the right person to start dating. Sometimes the first time it doesn't work out. We look. But eventually you find that person you want to spend the rest of your life with. You marry them, and then you start a family. But it was a step-by-step approach that we went through to get to that position. A couple months ago, we took a long road trip. We didn't really have a set plan of what we wanted to do, but we pretty much knew kind of where we wanted to get to and points that we wanted to see. And me being old school, I can't push in the buttons and use Google, so you know, I got the old paper map books that I look at. And not just because I don't want to Google in all this stuff and don't really know how to, but I like to see what I'm looking at. I can see the state. I can see where the road's going. Maybe I don't want to go that road. I want to go this road. But as Peg and I planned that trip out, as well as we had it planned, it was a step-by-step approach. And each day, we kind of had a destination where we wanted to get to, but where we started and where we ended up to get to that destination might have varied a little bit on the road we take. But step-by-step, we ended in our destinations. And we started here, and we ended up back here. But it was a map book and a step-by-step approach that got us to where we wanted to be. So with all that being said, going through life is very much a step-by-step approach also. Everything we do, it doesn't matter what you think about, it's a step-by-step approach. Whether it's shopping for clothes, shopping for groceries, it just doesn't matter. It's always step-by-step. So I wanted to preface this lesson tonight. I know I beat this passage to death, but I love it, and it says so much, and I wanted to start this passage with it, or start this lesson with this passage. And it comes from 2 Timothy 2, verses 14 and 15. We're all pretty familiar with those two verses. And Paul reminds Timothy, he says, "Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of hearers." And then in verse 15, he says, "Be diligent." In other words, study. And then he tells him why to be diligent. He says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God." All right, so study to show yourself approved. It's important to know this. Paul, you know, as I look at Paul, he lays things out in a step-by-step approach as to how things need to be done. So first of all, he's saying here, study. That study will show yourself approved to God. Now, why is that important? Because the worker doesn't need to be ashamed. We never have to back up. We never have to be ashamed if we're studied and we know what we're doing. If somebody approaches you about Jesus or about God and about what's going on, at least you should know where to find it or how to find it if you don't know. Study. Show yourself approved. As a worker, you need not be ashamed. And I think the most important of this verse sometimes gets left out. And that's rightly dividing the Word of God. Because if we're not studied and we've not shown ourselves approved, we're not going to be able to rightly divide the Word. Now, what does that mean? It means that I know right from wrong. I know if someone's pulling things out of context. I know if somebody's trying to prove a point and twisting God's Word, if I can rightly divide that Word. And we're going to look at that in the plan of salvation about sometimes what happens. The second passage that I wanted to use here is in 1 John. Because in 1 John, chapter 5, verses 3 through 6, John has this to say. He says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments." If we don't keep God's commandments, how can we say we love God? "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments." And what else does John say here? He says those commandments are not burdensome. Even though we may think they are at times, he says they're not. "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world." In other words, if you're with God, if you're with Jesus, you can overcome the world. "And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." That's how we overcome the world. Who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. Basically, what I wanted to set up here between these two passages, first of all, we need to study to show ourselves approved. We need to be able to rightly divide the Word of God. We need to know right from wrong. We need to know if someone's pulling something out of context and trying to prove a point, or whether they're really using what God's Word has to say. Secondly, I want us to understand that we need to follow God's commandments. Scripture says so. Now, it's been said in studies and things that I've looked up and researched, there's over 1,000 commandments in the New Testament. Now, that being said, can be mind-boggling. But there's a lot of things that are duplicated as to being commandments. But tonight I want to look at 6 commands and what we need to do with them. And those commands are hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized, and living righteously. Step by step by step approach. Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews 11:6 has this to say, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe what He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." Believe. You have to believe. Then Romans 10:17. Romans 10, verse 17 says here, "So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." We're told that we have to hear. All right, so let's just stop right here. I'm going to pull this verse out of context. Okay? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's all I need to do. I've heard the Word. I have faith. and that's all I need to do. That's what happens when especially if we don't know what's going on with God's word, somebody can pull out of context and say, that's all I got to do. It says so right here. I've heard that said. I don't need to do anything else. Well, let me ask you this. If you had a ladder on the ground and you were trying to get to the roof, and there was two or three steps missing out of that ladder, could you get to the roof? Absolutely not. Okay? So if you're going to get from point A to salvation, can you eliminate steps that are in the Bible? Absolutely not. You can't get there. All right? So if we're just going to look at one thing and look at hearing and not do anything else, then we've only got one step in the ladder. Pretty hard to reach ground to roof. The second is to believe. Familiar passage here, John 8:24. John 8:24 reads this way. Therefore, I say to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. So now we've seen that we need to hear God's word, not only hear it, but we need to believe it. Okay? So, there's people out here that will say, well, I hear God's word, I know what God's word says, and it says right here that all I need to do is believe. Well, we haven't rightly divided the word of God yet, have we? Because there's more in there than that. I've heard it, and I believe it, and that's all I got to do. And that's things that we run into as we try to teach people. So where do we go from here if that's what somebody really believes? Preston touched in class this morning. I always use it. It's like sitting out in a boat in the middle of the lake, and all of a sudden a big bolt of light comes down and says, you're saved. There are people that believe that. Holy Spirit came in right then. I'm just saved. I'm done. That's all I got to do. But knowing the Word of God and rightly dividing that Word of God, we know better than that. The third step is to repent. Luke 13. Luke 13, verses 1 through 3. There were present at that season some who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, this is Jesus talking, do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? That's Jesus' question. And he answers it. He goes, I tell you, no. They're not any worse. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Boom. Unless you repent, you will perish. Okay, what does it mean to repent? That means to give up sin. That means to be sorry for the sins that you're involved with and committing. That means turning away from those sins. We can't go through life knowingly sinning and not repent. Because it says right here, I don't care how you look at it, how you read it, it says, unless you repent, you will perish. If we have sin in our life, we need to get rid of it. Now, I understand that we do sin. I understand that we sin often and we fall short. I understand all that. But there's sins that go on in our life that we don't even know about, that we don't realize. A thought crosses our mind. Some kind of process goes through our thinking. That's by omission, sinning. Sinning by commission. If we're committing a sin and we know it, we need to get rid of it. Eventually, sins by omission will catch up with you and you'll realize you shouldn't be doing that. All right? Then get rid of it. But we got to know enough and we got to be strong enough in our faith and in God's word to know that Jesus isn't kidding here. I tell you, no. And unless you repent, you will also likewise perish, just like the Galileans did. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10. Says this: "For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation." Important here, godly sorrow. I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry that I'm sinning against you. That is what will lead to salvation. Not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world produces death. You get involved with worldly things and you're sorry about what's going on out in the world, and that's taking precedence over being sorry for what you're doing with God. Back to the repentance thing. It's not going to work that way. The sorrow of the world produces death. That's a spiritual death. Live in the world, you'll have a spiritual death. David Phillips, one of my favorite sermons that he ever gave was last time he was here, on the narrow gate and the wide gate. Boy, did that bring home just a bundle of thoughts for me. I've written blogs on it. I've preached on it. I took different angles at it, but I love it. You want to go through the wide gate? Do whatever you want to. Hop on the bus. Bring your drugs. Bring your alcohol. Bring your adultery. Bring whatever you want to bring, because you can get in through the wide gate. The sorrow of the world produces death. We need to repent. We need to be repentant. Jesus says so. It's a command. All right, so far I've heard, I believe, and you know what? I just can't get rid of everything out of my life, but I'm repentant. Is that going to work? No. Jesus said, repent. You got knowingly sin in your life, you need to repent, you need to get it out of your life. I know it's tough. I know it's difficult. We all deal with it. But it's got to be worked on and handled. Somehow, some way. So now we've heard. We're starting to believe. We've believed enough now that, okay, I'm repentant. I'm ready to make that step. So my ladder to the roof right now, I'm halfway up the ladder. What if I leave the last three steps out? You don't get to the roof, do you? You aren't going to reach your destination. So if I leave the last three steps out of this plan that God has set up for us, by knowing what's in God's Word and not pulling stuff out of context and doing what He says, if I leave steps out, I can't reach from here to salvation. It's not going to work. So now, the next step that God has laid out in this whole big plan that He's got is confession. Romans 10:9. Romans 10:9 reads this. Let's back up to verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. That's a profound statement, and it's a command. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. I believe in Jesus. I believe He's the Son of God. And believe that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. Ooh, that's nice. Now I can stop right here. I'm saved. All I got to do is believe. All I have to do is confess. And you know, this lightning bolt hit me out here in the middle of nowhere, and I believe in Jesus. And I believe, you know, I know God raised Him from the dead. I've heard God's Word. I believe all this stuff. So I'm done. I'm saved. But God's plan, there's two more steps. You can't get from here to salvation by just hearing and believing and confessing. So we look at step 5. I don't understand why this is a stumbling block for a lot of people. I just don't understand it. And I'm being honest when I say that. Because now they have heard the word, they believe the word, we've repented of our sins, we're willing to confess that Jesus is the Son of God. but we don't want to be baptized. And I don't understand that. I truly do not understand why this is such a stumbling block for Joe Public. Mark 16. We're going to look at a couple different verses here, but Mark 15, 16 is one that's used a lot, probably the most. Mark 16. I'll get it right here pretty soon. Preston, is it one of those days? He had Noah and Jonah mixed up this morning. That's okay. Mark 16, 15 and 16. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's a command. All right? Well, I can't teach. Yes, you can. Every time you walk out your front door, you're teaching. Whether you want to believe that or not, it's true. But he's talking about preaching God's word here. He's talking about taking the word, the gospel, out to others. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes. Okay, I don't want the rest of that verse. Because if I leave some of that out of there, he who believes will be saved. I've heard that preached. I've heard preachers use this and leave out, be baptized. But it doesn't say that. It says he who believes and is baptized will be saved. That's a command. And it goes on to say, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Oh, well, I believe. But do we have to do this baptism thing? Yeah, you do. Because God's word says so. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. We all know this by heart too. Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's a command. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. We're supposed to teach others the right way and God's way and what God expects of them. And lo, that means this is what's going to happen. I am with you always, even to the end of age. That's pretty comforting to me. Maybe that's what keeps me doing what I'm doing. Maybe that's what lets me drive over the hill to Pahrump once in a while and preach and take this pulpit and preach and step in for Bruce if something happens and he's sick on Sunday morning. Maybe that's what drives me because this is so comforting to me. You do this and I'm going to be with you till the end of ages. Acts 2. I'm using all my favorite passages here tonight, so that's okay. Acts 2, 38 to 41. And then Peter said to them, this whole crowd, he said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's a promise, and it's also a command. Repent and be baptized is a command. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And that's everybody. Everyone is called. Some are going to respond, some won't. And with many other words, he testified and exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. Key word here is gladly. They gladly received the word. They were baptized. They heard it, they believed it, they repented, they confessed, and they were baptized. And they were glad to do it. And that day about 3,000 souls were added. That's comforting. That's smile time. Acts 22:16. Acts 22:16 reads this way. And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized. That's a command. And wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So you've heard this thing. You've heard this whole concept of salvation. You believe it. You're willing to repent of your sins. You're willing to confess Jesus. But where are you waiting? Arise and be baptized. Romans 6, verses 3 and 4. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Preston on the table tonight said we remember the death, the burial, and the resurrection when we commune with Jesus. We die to our old self. We're buried in water and we come out new. Death, burial, resurrection. That's pretty simple. But there's a lot of people who don't understand it. Do we not know as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, there's Paul with that word, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Death, burial, resurrection. It doesn't leave any option for any other kind of baptism except immersion. It's a burial. If you look at the Greek definition of baptism, it's an engulfment. It's being consumed by. You can be baptized by fire. When we talk about baptism into Christianity, it's baptized by water. You're completely immersed. You're covered. And then lastly, this, you know, here's your final step. You can't stop here. You only got five steps done. You still have not reached the roof. You still have not reached the destination. You still have not left your home and found the grocery store. You got one more step to do. And that's in Revelations 2:10. Revelations 2:10. Let me get there. Revelations 2, verse 10. It says, do not fear any of these things. This was to the church in Smyrna. Do not fear any of these things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison. He's about to snatch you. That you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. And then the end of this verse says, so be faithful unto death. And why? Why would I be faithful unto death? I will give you the crown of life. Doesn't Paul tell us to work till the end of our time and you'll earn the crown of life, you'll win the race? So as I looked at this, and I looked at this step-by-step approach, I had never looked at it this way. But we can't leave any of those steps out. It just doesn't work. No matter how much somebody wants to leave one out, you can't do it. You have to hear God's word. You have to believe God's word. You have to be willing to repent of the sin in your life. You have to be willing to confess that Jesus is the Son of God. And you have to be willing to be baptized. You have to be willing to die to your old self, be buried in water, and come out anew and resurrected as a new person. And then you need to live righteously the rest of your life. Then you'll reach your destination. You cannot leave one step out. Doesn't work. One step at a time, dear Savior. I cannot take any more. The flesh is so weak and hopeless. I know not what is before. One step at a time, dear Savior. I am not walking by sight. Keep step with my soul, dear Savior. I walk by faith in thy sight. One step at a time, dear Savior. Oh, guard my faltering feet. Keep hold of my hand, dear Savior, till I my journey complete. One step at a time, dear Savior, thou knowest all of my fear. One word from thy heart, dear Savior, and heaven's mansions appear. One step at a time, dear Savior, till faith grows stronger in thee. One step at a time, dear Savior, till hope grows stronger in me. One step at a time. The lesson is yours. The plan of salvation has been laid out. If anyone has not taken advantage of God's plan and become a Christian, I would urge that you do that. Why wait? There's no response. There's no reason to wait. If anybody has a need tonight, whether it be baptism, whether it be accepting Jesus, or whether it just be you need some prayers and you need some help, and maybe you got some sin you're struggling with and you need the prayers of this congregation, we're here for you. Let your thoughts or whatever you need, let it be known as Kurt leads us in a